Give me the launch codes, or else.
Or else what? Bullies and lawbreakers are a blight on this fair city, and I will not stop until justice is... Oh! Sorry! It's a cat in a sweater on a scooter eating sushi with chopsticks! Oh, this is why cat videos will never get old, am I right? Oh, that was close.
You're welcome.
She Mobile, woman of great power, defender of Millennium City. Yeah, easily distracted. Millie, I want her story on my desk in 12 hours.
Dolphins, definitely.
You're fired.
Millie. Distractor wants to vaporize the city's water supply. Find the water pressurizer and destroy it.
Stay focused.
I would like to thank you for coming tonight.
Distractor!
I believe we have very important things to discuss.
Did you see what Regina did to Denise last week?
The Real Housewives of Millennium City?
Ignore him, Millie. He's
trying to distract you.
Best housewife season since
season three. That's what I've been saying.
Did you see this week yet?
No, but I have it recorded. So don't tell me anything.
This is not a spoiler,
don't,
okay?
I said I don't want to know.
It's not a spoiler, though. No.
I don't want to know.
But Kate dies. Yes!
Great job, She-Mobile.
Looks like you still have a chance to save the city.
Let me take a selfie for the gram.
There is no time for selfies.
Relax, I'll get to it. It's just one little selfie.
All right, now you can go to the next one and then mute that Mac for me, please. All right, so as we saw little Distracto and all that different stuff, we all deal with distractions in life. That's Doug from Up, if you don't know, and Squirrel, you know, all that stuff. So we all deal with distractions in life, and tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what distractions are, how they can occur, and then how we can honestly beat them. Now, I know what you're thinking, like, okay, we're out of school, buddy. We don't need to talk about distractions and all those things. You know, we can move on from that. But as we talk tonight, I want us to see in a biblical sense how distractions can ruin our spiritual walk, how distractions can really get in and take away things that God intends for there to be there and everything that goes along with it. So Luke chapter 10, we're going to see a story about Mary and Martha. And some of you have heard this story, some of you have grown up in church and you've heard this read, but I want us to see it from a different angle tonight a little bit. It's in Luke 10 and it's beginning in verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Now, right off the bat, we're going to find out that Martha's not like a bad lady, okay? Like, she's welcoming, she's being hospitable. She's welcoming Jesus into her house. So there's a lot of times on this story, a spin is put like, Martha's just this terrible woman, and I can't believe she's caught up in all this serving. But she's not a bad lady. This is someone who is willing to open her home to entertain not just Jesus, but the disciples are there as well. So she's got all these people coming. And if you know your mom and there are people coming over, you probably have work to do before they get there, especially if it's someone important, right? Like if it's that great aunt that like always, you know, dusts everything once she gets there, you probably have something that you have to do in order to clean up. Why? Because someone of importance is coming. So when we read the next couple verses, keep in mind, that's what's in Martha's mind, okay? That's what's going on. But in verse 39, it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted." How? "With much serving. And she approached him being Jesus, and says to him, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answers and says to her, 'Martha, Martha, You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. In other words, one thing is absolutely necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Nowadays, we have fidget spinners, we have medications, we have everything to try and dull the distractions. We have things that try and take away our ability to be distracted. Now, before we go on and somebody think I'm talking against medications, I'm not. Are there people that need medications to focus? Yes. Does everybody need medication to focus? No. So, in talking about this, what has happened is America has a fundamental problem, or the world has a fundamental problem, really, and we have said that we're not going to figure out the actual solution to the problem. What we'll do is we'll throw out all these other different things and hope that they work without actually attacking what the actual problem is. So tonight, as we look at this, I want us to understand that people will look for ways to keep them distracted from the actual problem. People will use drugs and alcohol to keep them away from the pain and the anxiety and the depression that they face without it. People will get a girlfriend or boyfriend every other day or every other week to keep them from the loneliness. People will do all kinds of things to try and mask something that is an actual problem in their life, but they're trying to mask it by doing something else. They're easily distracted by something shiny and say, well, that'll help, but it's just a temporary solution. And even so, a lot of times it causes an even bigger heartache. Especially when you're talking about drugs and you have withdrawals or relationships and you have breakups and you have all these things that cause huge issues back here. So how do we actually fix the issue? How do we actually get to the root of the problem? It's by tracking Mary's movements. It's by tracking what she's done. So the first thing that Mary does is she sat. I know, she sat. But here's the thing about Mary. This is a house. Just think about your house. It's not the same before you know, Bible scholars are like, it's not the same type of house. But just think about your house. If you go into your house, and let's say you go into your living room or wherever your TV is, there's generally a couch or two that are set up around to face the TV. So if you go in to watch TV and something is on the TV and things are happening all around the couches, I have kids. So anytime there's a game on or something on the TV, there are all kinds of distractions. I get hit in one face of the ball and the other face of the Barbie. I mean, just things are happening at all times. But how do we fix that problem with our TV? What do we normally do? No, we leave it on. To keep watching the TV, what do we normally do? We turn it up or we move closer. Okay, everybody, if you're trying to hear something or focus on something, you generally will start moving closer to it. When I'm talking with somebody and I either don't understand them or I don't hear them, generally my next step is to be like, I'm sorry, and go closer to them. Why? Because it limits distractions. So Mary, when Jesus is at the house, she could have sat anywhere in the house, but where did she sit? At Jesus' feet. Why? Because it was the closest she could get to him. Because it was the closest where it would limit all the distractions. And in a practical application for you, if you're one of those people, when you're reading your Bible, when you are, let's just use school, when you go back to school, or let's use whatever thing you're in, driver's class, driver's ed, or whatever, and you are easily distracted in a practical way, get closer. Limit the distractions. Don't sit by your bestie who keeps talking to you all during service. Okay, I said service like it was tonight. So sit somewhere, mask yourself, keep yourself from being distracted. Why? Because there are so many distractions in life. But Mary teaches us the first thing is sitting as close to Jesus' feet as possible. Don't read your Bible laying down and expect to stay awake. I literally had somebody in my other youth group who came to me and said, I try and read my Bible when I first get up. I flip over, I grab it, and I roll on my left side, and I prop it up on the pillow, but I always fall asleep. What? Like, what? Of course you're going to fall asleep. I roll over and look at my wife, I'm like, you're beautiful, because I'm laying down, and the natural reaction is to go to sleep, okay? So limit your distractions in ways you can. If you're reading your Bible on your phone, turn it on airplane mode. So that you cannot get that snap, or you cannot get that text, or you cannot get that email, or whatever, so that you can focus on what you need to be, that you can sit at Jesus' feet. But the second thing she does is she listened. This is a simple illustration, but many of you have heard your parents saying something to you but did not actually listen. Because listening is a choice, hearing is not. Okay? There are lots of times, and I'm just going to use our group. There are lots of times when I hear conversations during a service go on. I hear them. I can hear the muttering, and I can see the phones, even though everybody thinks you're cool, and, you know, it doesn't look at all, you know, weird that you're going like this. But anyways, and nobody's in here tonight before you start looking around like, who is it? It wasn't like that. I was making an exaggeration. But I can hear those things. However, if someone's like, well, what are we talking about? I don't know. I didn't make an active choice to listen. When my wife is talking with me, my wife is one of the most creative women I have ever met. And all of that normally comes out whenever I get home, because she's been thinking about this throughout the day of things we need to do with youth group and girls' activities and all these different stuff. And so I walk in the door, it's like, hey, I've got some ideas. And then, you know, at 9 o'clock after the kids have gone to bed, she finally stops with her ideas. But during that whole time, I've heard her speaking, but it is my choice to actively listen. In services, whether it's tonight or any service, you could hear me, I could be talking, but it's your choice to actively listen. What the Bible says about Mary is that she sat at Jesus' feet and she listened to him. What he was teaching mattered to her. She had such a love in her heart for who he was, and the distractions were limited so that she could focus on him and listen intently to what he wanted to say. Why is it important that you read your Bible without distractions so that you can listen to what Jesus says? Because you can listen to me all you want, but there may be one day when I'm completely off on a subject. There may be one day when I make a stupid statement. There may be one day where I say something that doesn't sit right with you, but there is nothing that Jesus is going to say. There's nothing that the Bible is going to say that is wrong. So if you're going to read it, if you're going to listen intently to it, it's the way that you limit distractions. Number three, last one. She chose Jesus. Here's the solution to the actual problem is she chose Jesus. Now, before you start saying, yeah, but how does that let me listen in school? Like, I sit there and my math teacher, who is terrible, I sit there and they say 2 + 2 = 4. But my philosophy teacher says, does 2 + 2 = 4? Because we don't know. And so I don't know. So I look at him and say, my philosophy teacher knows more than you do. And I don't really know. So what are you talking about distractions? Okay, here's what I mean. When we focus on Jesus, other things fall into place. When my priority is Christ, other things fall into place. You have a terrible attitude with your parents. It's not because your attitude is wrong. It's because your focus is wrong. It's because you can't get a grip on your attitude because you haven't gotten a grip on Jesus. Because you haven't chosen to follow him, to focus on him, to sit by his feet, and to listen to him. Now, I'm not just talking about a relationship. I'm not just talking about putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, although that's important. But what I'm talking about is our ability to say, in today, I am going to choose Jesus. Because what a lot of you do is choose a boyfriend or girlfriend. A lot of you will choose a friend. A lot of you will choose a genre of music to listen to. A lot of you will choose a sport. And all those things, that's what you choose to focus on. And that's what you choose to go after. And then you wonder why you struggle with so many things over here. Because guys, those are false gods. They're going to lead you in a way that's not going to help you out over here. The only one who has the complete power to help you with all these situations is Jesus. So when you focus and you follow him and you sit and you listen and you walk after him, that's when those things start to take care of themselves. Because you're so focused on him, those things come along. Because here's what we've done. If I can use the illustration of a shark, I think I've used that in here before. So if you look at a shark, I wish I had put one up on the screen. I didn't. But if you look at a shark, in fact, I saw a video today, right, of a shark like in the Florida Gulf shores or whatever like that, just swimming around, right? And all the, you know, everybody freaks out on the beach like the shark's just going to grow feet and like come get them or something. Like, ah! You know, like, just be on the beach, man. It's no big deal. But anyways, this thing's like swimming around. And here's the thing. How do you know it's a shark? Because it looks like a shark. But what sticks up that helps you? The fin. Okay. But is the fin dangerous? No. Does the fin identify something dangerous? Yes. Would it help us to cut the fin off? No, because the shark is still a shark. If you pick the shark up and like, I'll just chop the fin off, it won't be dangerous. Stink. here's my hand. Your hand's gone because the shark is still dangerous. But here's what we do in our Christian life. We look at the shark in front of us and we say, ooh, that attitude towards my parents is, ah, man, that means there's something bad there. Let me just cut off the fin and it'll go away. No, because the problem is under the water. And until you admit it and until you deal with the underwater problem, that fin will continue to swim. Because we want to go and we just take the easy way. Oh, well, I'll just make my attitude better. You can't. You can't. Have you ever found that? Oh, I'm just going to do this better. You can't. Okay, you really can't. You may be able to do it for a week. You might be able to do it for a month. You might be able to do it for 2 months. But at some point when you say, I will never date that. I don't want to use that illustration. I'll never listen to that song again. I will never, ever listen to that song again. And then 2 months down the road, somebody's like, dude, I got the aux cord. Let me play this song. And they put on the song and you're like, well, I guess it's not that big of a deal. Why? Because your decisions are mounted on cutting off a fin, not on dealing with a shark. So when we choose Jesus, what we're essentially doing is choosing to address the sharks, choosing to go after the root problem, not the surface issues, but the root problem. Because why is Jesus so important? Why is it that he means so much to us? Because if Jesus is going to save us, if he is going to be the person that provides forgiveness from sin and for sin, then he ought to be the person that we choose to follow, because he's not just fire insurance. So how do we deal with distractions? Well, you see, Martha was distracted by serving. That's not a bad thing. When you go over to your friend's house and their mom or dad brings out like the bagel bites or something like that, or Totino's pizza rolls, or God help them, taquitos, and you see them suckers come out the oven, okay, no one looks at me like, well, you're too busy serving. Sit down and chat with us, okay? Everybody's just like, oh, that's very sweet of them. Okay, so serving is not the issue here. The problem was is that she got distracted by something good away from something that was the best. And we have a lot of teens who say, man, I can do this sport, or I can do this music, or I can do this whatever, and I'm really good at it, and so I'm going to focus on that. But you're missing what's actually the best. And you're missing something and focusing on something that could lead away from distractions instead of following into it. Martha thought it was all about how it looked to everyone else. But Mary chose Jesus. And it started from the inside. It started from a choice to follow him on the inside. Everything in life is going to change. Those of you who are now upperclassmen or have graduated from high school understand that things change. Those of you going into 7th grade or 8th grade, know that things change. It feels like it's not that long until you're looking at your grad or your diploma because it's been so long. And you look back, it's so fast, you know, and you walk through it because everything in life will change. Everything in life will change, but Jesus. Jesus will never change. He will not change. He is always present. He is always constant. He will forever be omnipotent, meaning he's all the power in the world. What does it look like to choose Jesus? Okay, what does it look like for us to choose Jesus? And then I'm done. It means you read your Bible. Now here we go. Oh, here goes his legalistic ways. He's going to talk about how to read Bible, be a church because he wants the big crowd here and lead other people to Christ only because he wants them here. And so he wants me to bring my friends that I lead to Christ here so we can have a bigger group. No. To follow Jesus means we read our Bible, not because we have to, but because we choose Jesus. It means to go to church. Why? Because we learn more about the one who we've chosen to follow. And it means we lead others to him. Why? Because we love him so much we want others to know about him. But here's the thing. Someone can read their Bible. Someone can go to church. Someone can even lead others to Christ without choosing Jesus. But you cannot choose Jesus and not read God's word, or be faithful, or go to church, or lead others to Christ. You cannot say, Jesus is my everything, and then none of those things apply. You cannot make that statement. So what I'm encouraging you to do tonight, what I'm challenging you to do tonight is to limit distractions. Yeah, you saw the lady on the video that was distracted by every little thing, and you know yourself and others who have been distracted by every little thing. But I'm encouraging you tonight, not just practically in your own life, focusing on others and things like that, but in your spiritual walk, focus on choosing Jesus, because distractions will take you everywhere you don't want to be. It may look like a simple relationship, but if your focus is on the relationship and not on Christ, it will take you as far away from Christ as you have ever been. If your focus turns onto a sport instead of on Jesus, that sport will take you as far away from Christ as you have ever been. If your focus is on fill in the blank for you and it's not on Jesus, it will take you as far as you have ever been away from Christ, and you won't even know it. Why? Because you're distracted. So I'm encouraging you tonight to limit distractions and make a choice to choose Jesus. Choose to tackle the issues. Man, you got loneliness issues. It doesn't get filled by having a girlfriend or boyfriend. It doesn't, okay? I love my wife, but if I'm lonely, my wife doesn't fill that void. Honestly and truly. I mean, wouldn't you say the same thing for you? I don't fill her loneliness void. There are times in life where I feel so lonely and I've got a wife and three kids. The three kids won't leave me alone when I walk in the house. Okay, they don't stop talking to me, but I still feel alone. People do not solve that issue. Jesus does. Anxiety and depression, yes, are there some people who need medication? I have to put this little caveat in there every time before people are like, oh my gosh, she said to stop taking my meds. Mom, you know, or anything like that. But yes, there are people who need to take meds. But medication at its core is not going to solve the issue in America of depression and anxiety. You know what does? Jesus. Because he gives you hope. Because he gives you a real future. Because he gives you everything you could ever need. That's why I'm saying to limit distractions, and how to conquer it is by choosing Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Spend time with him. Listen to what he says, even when you don't like it. Even when you don't like it. And then choose Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that we would have a youth group who would choose you. Lord, even in making, in studying for this message, I was distracted. I mean, as I was typing it out, text messages were coming through, Facebook notifications were popping up, Twitter was popping up, all those different things, Lord, and I struggled with putting those things away to truly focus on you. It was almost like the devil was trying to attack me at what I was trying to speak about. So Lord, I understand. I'm not trying to stand up here and say that I'm better than everybody else and I've got it all down. But Lord, I want us as a group, because friends become family, but ultimately because Jesus is better, that we choose you over everything else. That we as a family, as 412, would say Jesus is better than anything and we choose him over anything. So God, give us teenagers to say it, but give us teenagers to do it. We love you and we need you. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.